Very well may be the last day that I ever preach the gospel to you from this pulpit. And I've tried from the first day till now for that to be my heart when I stand here. Because that could be the case every time I've ever stood here. I want that to be my heart when I stand and preach. This might be the last time you get to declare the gospel to them. I want to be like the old preacher that said, I preach as a dying man to dying men. I hear folks complain about how little they had in attendance, and I think every one of those are a soul bound for eternity. Whether it's a small number or a great number, the weight of knowing you're responsible to preach the gospel in truth to eternity bound sinners, that's a weight. But I have confidence, not in myself, but in our subject today. In Romans 16, verse 25, Paul says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ." That's my confidence. God is of power to establish you. He says there, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. God only wise is of power to establish sinners so that he gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. He is of power. He is of power. That's our subject, the power to establish. As sinners, we need to be established by God, don't we? Because by nature, we're like Reuben. We're unstable as water. We need to have our hearts established because we're vain in our imagination. And the scripture says, Paul prayed to the Thessalonians and said, I pray to this end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. He's the only one that can establish our hearts unblameable before him. We need his word to be established in us. We can't establish his word in us. We believe the lies of men. We believe our own deceitful hearts. We need his word to be established in us. We need to be established upon better promises than an old covenant of works, and he alone can establish us. Psalm 119:38, the psalmist prayed, "Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear." Don't you fear reproach? Doesn't that weaken you? "For thy judgments are good." Establish your word in my heart. When it comes to good works, who's going to get the glory for that? Paul said, "Our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who hath loved us and given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every word and work." There's only one way you're going to do any good work is by the power of God, establishing you in the work he would have you to do. When it comes to evil, who's going to establish us and keep us from evil? Paul said, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. What about the trials? What about the trials? The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. You'll have to suffer. Maybe like Joseph, may have to be thrown in the pit. But Scripture says when he was in the pit, the Lord was with him. You may have to be sold into Egypt. Joseph probably didn't look at that at the time and think, well, I'm being kept in this trial. But Scripture said the Lord was with him. May have to be falsely accused and be thrown in prison. The very next verse says, but the Lord was with him. May have to suffer many, many things, but in the end, you're going to find out the enemy meant it for good. The enemy meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He's going to keep his people and establish you in every trial. God only wise is of power to establish his children. Now to him that is of power to establish you. And then this is our gospel. This is our message. He says there, now to him that's of power to establish you according to my gospel. This is my gospel. This is my gospel. The subject matter of Paul's gospel was God only wise is of power to establish sinners. Look to your right there and go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure God's given us of his gospel in earthen vessels. This is the preacher speaking. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? Why is it in a helpless, worthless, powerless clay pot? Why? That the power may be of God and not of us. Look back at 1 Corinthians and look at chapter 2. And listen to what Paul says. Verse 1, I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If you have faith, if you're established by this gospel, God did it. Man didn't do it. God did it. He's the only one that can do it. God works this work through the gospel. He establishes us through the gospel. Look there at the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. It's not a message of the sinner's ability. It's a message about God's ability. It's not a message about the sinner's work. It's about God's work. That's the gospel we preach. God chose his people in power before the world began. By his grace, that's his power to do so. This is what men hate, God's power to do with his own what he will. God came in human flesh and in power he redeemed us from the curse of the law to himself. That's his power. It's his power to regenerate us to life and irresistibly draw us to Christ and make us cast our care on him. That's his power to do. That's our gospel. It's his power to keep you and establish you. And who's doing this? The prophet, priest, and king who's ascended on high, to whom all power belongs as the God-man. He's filling all in all. Whatever's happening is happening right according to his purpose. He ordained it from eternity by power, and what's happening in my life right now and in your life right now is exactly according to his will. And it's right because he did it. The gospel turns us away from us, from earthly things. It turns our minds away from earthly things. And it turns us to Christ at God's right hand. He shows you who it is that's holding the reins, who it is that's working the works, who it is that's reigning. And when he does that, you'll stop trying to put your hand to the ark and steady it. He'll put you in the dust and let you know he's got it. He's got it. He's got it. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. He's the only one. He's the only one who can do it. I tell you what, go to Galatians 6. As many as desire, look at this. There's a lot of folks trying to work works by their hand and conniving. But listen to this. Verse 12, 6:12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised or whatever it is they think you ought to be doing. Why on earth would they do that? Lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. They're not doing what they're trying to constrain you to do. Paul was clear on that in Romans 2. Whatever we're judging and condemning, we're condemning ourselves. We do the same thing. They're doing it that they may glory in your flesh. But look at this. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, God forbid that I should look to any power but the preaching of the cross of Christ and Him crucified. God forbid I resort to any other means but the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. By whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. It's not what you're doing or not doing that saves you. It's not what we're doing or not doing that's going to make us accepted of God. It's not what we're doing or not doing by which we're going to be kept. How are we going to be kept? He's got to make us a new creation. It's from the inside out. It's from the inside out. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. The gospel is Jesus Christ. The gospel is Jesus Christ. Our text says, now to him that's power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now go to 1 Corinthians 1. Look here in verse 18. It's the power to establish you. This is the gospel. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ. The preaching of the cross, verse 18, the preaching of the cross, the preaching of Christ is to them that perish foolishness. And you can preach Christ, but not all the time and not only Christ. I better preach Christ only and all the time, or I'm a false prophet. People that say that, the message is foolishness to them. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. You know that, don't you? You experience that in your heart. This is the power of God. Look down at verse 22. The Jews require a sign, an outward sign. Bring forth some fruits meet for repentance. Do you think those scribes and those Pharisees had outward immorality? You reckon? You reckon they had outward fruits that most men are talking about? What didn't they have? They hated Christ. They didn't bow to Christ. They didn't have faith to submit it all to Christ and follow Him with a love for Him constrained by His love for them. That's what they didn't have. The religious world wants a sign. Give us a sign. Give us a sign. Tell you what's going to happen. With a man that wants a sign, he's going to make sure that sign, the bar for that sign is lower than where he thinks he's at. He'll make sure he reaches that bar and other people don't. What's the bar? Jesus Christ. The gate's as narrow as Jesus Christ. You've got to have the righteousness of Christ and the holiness of Christ and be trusting Christ alone, or you can't enter in. The Greeks seek after wisdom. The Gnostics, they want superior knowledge. This is based on how much knowledge you got. You're going to be saved by knowledge, there's no doubt about it, but don't ever put knowledge between a sinner and Christ. We know whom we have believed. He said, if you believe me, you'll understand the doctrine. Got to be brought to bow to God first. Got to be brought to bow to Christ first. We've got to be brought to deny ourselves first. Then you'll understand all the doctrine. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block. And it's on purpose. God said, I'm going to make him a stumbling block to him. I'm going to trip him up with him. That's what God said, no, through Isaiah. And unto the Greeks, foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, is the power of God. He's the wisdom of God. He's the power that could establish the law and the prophets. He's the power that gave the law and the prophets. And he's the power that established the law and the prophets in perfection. You and I couldn't do that. He's the power to establish his people in perfection. That was Clay Curtis walking that earth. That was Cyril Reynolds walking that earth. When he walked this earth, he was representing his people. God saw him in the place of his people, and he established his people in perfection. He's a power to keep us and preserve us unto the day of glory. He keeps the glory of God in your heart. He keeps the glory of God in your heart. You can't mortify one sin until he comes, and in power he makes you behold the glory of God. That's when you'll hate your flesh. He never stopped doing it. Power to change our vile bodies like unto his glorious body. Power to present each and every one of his church to the Father spotless and without blame. He's the power. He's the power. So that according as it's written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And he establishes us through the power of divine revelation. Divine revelation. That's the power. He only has power to reveal himself in us. Look, our text says, to him that's of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. The revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest. The gospel's a mystery. Romans 1:16 says this. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I preach the gospel, and if you've experienced this revelation, you won't be ashamed of it. Listen, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. How are we made to believe? Because therein, in this gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. It has to be revealed. Christ has to reveal himself in our hearts to make us see he's the righteousness of God. I listened to a man preach for 40 minutes of the night on what righteousness is. And to that man, it was a doctrine. It was not Christ. He reveals to you he's righteousness. He's your righteousness. It's from faith, from the faithful one to the faith he gives in the heart. And he alone can reveal it. And from then on, the justified sinner, justified by Christ and his blood, lives by faith in him. Trust in him. The righteousness of God's a mystery. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And it's hidden. The hidden wisdom. It's hidden. God hid it. God ordained it before the world unto our glory. If you know the mystery, it's because God ordained for it to be revealed to you. Because it's hidden from the rest of the world. Do you realize that I'll give you $100 for every message you can bring me from this world's religion that preaches on the righteousness of Christ. And how that God is just and the justifier of his people. I'll keep my money. They don't preach it. Because it's got to be revealed. It's got to be revealed. God hath revealed it to us by His Spirit. He's made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. God purposed that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, when the time is no more, He's going to gather all His people that are already in heaven and all His people that are in earth in one, in Christ, and He's going to get all the glory. And that's the mystery. Not unto us, but unto Christ be the glory. That's the mystery. This is the mystery that's been hidden from ages, Paul said, from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. This is how you're made a saint, by this revelation. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. You know what it is? You know what this mystery is? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is the mystery. Our Lord, look at Matthew 11. Our Lord, thank God for this. Matthew 11, verse 25. He was surrounded by people that it didn't matter what he preached, how he preached. They weren't going to hear him. But listen to what he said. Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Somebody read it the other night. Seeing, they shall see, and they'll just be blinded. Men that think they can see, and don't think they need God to give them sight, remain in their blindness. Men that think they can hear and don't need God to make them hear remain in their deafness. Because God has ordained to hide it from the wise and prudent. Who's He reveal it to? And you have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. He makes you a baby, don't He? He makes you like a little child to just listen to God and say, God said it, it's so. He makes every elect, redeemed child know this gospel in our hearts, no matter what nation they're in. No matter where they are in this world, He's going to make them know it. He's going to send them this gospel and make them know it. Our text says, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. It's made known to His elect alone in all nations. To His elect alone in all nations. To those Christ bought with His blood in all nations. You know, the prophets, when they spoke by the commandment of God. He says in our text, the prophets spoke according to the commandment of the everlasting God. They spoke what God commanded. When God commands, a man will write and speak what God commands. And that's what they did. And the scripture says, I want you to see this, 1 Peter 1, I want you to get this. They were speaking what God gave, and so were the apostles, and they gave us these scriptures. And now, by the same power that made them write these scriptures, the gospel's preached to us, and that's how we're made to believe. Look here, 1 Peter 1, 11. He says, he's speaking here of the prophets, and he says, they search what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it tested beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That means they wrote and they spoke and they searched out what God gave them, what He revealed to them, what He made them write. Now drop down and look at verse 12. I want you to see the second part there. It says, these things are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. You see that? The same Holy Spirit that made the Old Testament prophets and the apostles write what they wrote and write these scriptures for us, it takes the same power of the Holy Spirit of God to enter into a man and make him preach this truth to you right where you see it, and the same power to make you believe it. Who gets the glory? Who gets the glory for the scriptures? God does. Who gets the glory for the gospel going forth? God does. Who gets the glory for the believer that hears it and bows and worships Christ? God does. Well, knowing that, do you think he's of power to send this gospel to one of his children in some foreign land? Of course he is. Wherever they are, he's going to send them in all the nations, and they're going to hear this gospel. And he's going to speak in power, and he's going to bring them to bow, and he's going to bring them to his feet. And he's going to bring them to the obedience of faith. What is that? John chapter 6. Men were clamoring, trying to find something they could do, and what can we do, and what should we do? Verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. The obedience of faith is obedience to Christ. It's to come to Christ and bow to Christ and trust Christ for everything. And so we preach this gospel. We preach it. He through the gospel, Paul said, we walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. We're not using our flesh and our fleshly ingenuity and different means and methods to try to get men to be obedient. We don't use that. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know what strongholds are? All men's vain refuges. We all have plenty. Even today, as believers, we have refuges. And God has to, he keeps on through this gospel, stripping them away, stripping them away, stripping them away. It's how we're called out of darkness in the first hour. It's how we're called to Christ out of the trial. It's how we're made to repent the first hour. It's how we continue to be made to repent. He's bringing down all your strongholds. And what happens? He said, it cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against God. That's me and you he's talking about. He brings us down. Because when we're not trusting Christ alone and walking in Christ alone and resting in Christ alone and being obedient to Christ alone and trying to honor and glorify Christ alone, we're the high thing that has to be brought down. And he says he brings you down and we're exalting ourselves against the knowledge of God and he brings you into captivity. He brings every thought to the obedience of Christ. He brings you to see Christ's obedience as being the only obedience that's going to make you righteous before God. And when he makes you see him in every hour from first to last, you're going to bow to him. You bow to him. And you know what he does when he does that? He says, and you'll have in a readiness. You'll be ready then to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You'll take revenge on your own self. You'll take revenge on your own flesh, on your own sin, and abhor it and mortify it and kill it. And look to Christ and follow Christ. But there ain't but one way you can do that. And any man that says he has power to mortify his flesh is a liar against God. That's a high thing, exalting himself against God, that has to be brought down and brought to the obedience of Christ to take revenge on himself for that. If you could mortify your flesh by yourself, why don't you just never sin again? Why don't you just stop all your sin right now? If you stopped any sin, you didn't do it. He made you do it. You believe that? If we don't believe that, we don't believe God. We believe Christ is the wisdom of God when he's worked this. You believe Christ is the wisdom of God and you stop leaning to your own wisdom. When he brought you to this place, you believe Christ is your holiness, and you stop looking to some pretended holiness in self. You believe he's your holiness at God's right hand, and he's the holiness working in you that made you abhor and see that you had a lie in your right hand. When he's worked this and brought you to the obedience of Christ, he makes you believe Christ is your only righteousness, and you cease looking to yourself and others and decisions and whatever else, and you look to Christ only. When he's brought you to this place, you believe Christ has fully redeemed you from the curse of the law, and he set you free to worship and serve him. And I don't mean just he did that on the cross. I mean when he works this in our heart and establishes us, in that hour he brings you to see your sin and brings you to see the trial was sent to you to make you see you're nothing and see Christ and turn you back to Christ from whom you had turned. When he brings you to that place, he makes you to realize in truth like you've never realized it before. If you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law anymore. You know how you know that? Because the law didn't bring me to this place. The law didn't make me hate myself. The law didn't make me abhor what I am. The law wouldn't turn me from this sin right now. You know who did it? Christ came and he worked it in my heart. He's leading me. Moses is not leading me. Christ is leading me. He'll break your bones if he has to show you you can't run out ahead of him and you can't run away from him. You're going to have to follow him. There's an old story about the shepherd that when they would have a sheep that would run off, I guess a little lamb. I don't reckon it was too big because they say they would take the little lamb and they would they would pop his shoulder out of joint. Painful. And they would carry that lamb for a while. The shepherd would. And you pop him back in joint and set the little lamb down, and the little lamb just followed the shepherd. Quit running off. That's what he does to us. He'll break your bones, and when he's done in the midst of your crowd like David's, and Lord, heal the bones that you've broken. And when he's finished, you'll say, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn to follow my Lord. And you learn from that. You learn right then. I'm led of the Spirit. He's leading me. He's the one doing it. It's not law. It's not flesh. That's how Paul was trying to save the brethren at Galatians from accusing and excusing one another till they bit and devoured one another and just split the church wide open. He said, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And I'll tell you who, there was some in Galatia that learned that. You know who did? The ones led of the Spirit. The other ones, Paul's word fell on deaf ears. And they did what was in the lust of their heart to do until God removed them. That's how it works. Just how it always works. And he shows us by that, you're led of the Spirit. And you know what? When you brought you to this good work of trusting Christ and looking to Christ only and hating yourself and seeing what you are and just mourning the fact you ever looked to yourself, he brings you to do what we're going to do in glory for all eternity. Our text says, verse 27, he brings you to cry out, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And that's amen, brethren. He gets the glory. Father, we thank you for this word. We pray now you'd bless it. Pray now you'd make good on all these promises of the gospel that you've shown us. Lord, we need you. We need you to lead us. Make us see Christ and see he is the power of salvation. Lord, you do this. We'll stop accusing. We'll stop pointing the finger. We'll stop listening to those who do. We'll look to Christ. There'll be peace in our hearts. There'll be unity. There'll be rejoicing. And Lord, we have the confidence of knowing that's what you're going to do. That is exactly what you're going to do in your people. Lord, lead with us. Be with your church everywhere. You're chastening hands upon your church today. You're purging your church. You're humbling your people. And Lord, establish us in power. Make us look to Christ. Seek those things which are above and quit looking at earthly things. Bring us to yourself. Lord, come quickly. We need you. We need you. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us for being arrogant, little, mighty, self-exalted maggots trying to stand up to a mountain that's God. Save us, Lord. In Christ's name and by his power, amen.